Come close to me. Closer, closer, closer still. And I will reveal to you secrets of my kingdom and a greater degree of my will. For this is what I desire of each and every one of you, to come close, to draw near, to open up your ears and hear. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you this question. Is that your head talking or is that your heart talking? All right? You know, there's a difference between how our head functions and how our heart functions, okay? And we're going to look at that today. I'm just going to be able to introduce it today. We won't be able to get into it fully because I'm going to let you out early today. Everybody said? Amen? All right? And we can get out early, and then if we need to take some to-go containers, we can do that. Turn to the book of Romans with me. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to begin there. You know, sometimes a person can believe something in their head, but not in their heart. And if it's not in your heart, it's not going to do any good for you. And in this message, we're going to see the difference between mental assent and faith. Okay? Sometimes we can agree with something in our head, and we can know that it's right, we can be in agreement with it, but if it's just in our head, it has no power to change our lives. Only when what we hear gets into our heart will it have the power to transform us. Okay? So Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. It says, what does it say, or what saith it? The word is near you, even in your what? Your mouth and your what? Wait a minute. It did not say anything about your head, did it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe where? In your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, you're saying, but Pastor Doug, my mouth is part of my head, isn't it? Yes, but it's speaking what's in your heart, not in your head. All right? Verse 9, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the what? Heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. It has no mention of our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, does it? It's only talking about our heart and our mouth. And when it's talking about the heart in this case, it's really talking about your inner being. Okay? For the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, when you believe something with your heart, you will take action. Okay? It says, and how shall they believe on him of whom they had not heard? You know, in order to believe God, you have to hear truth about God. Because what happens when you hear his word? Faith comes to your heart, right? And then you act on that faith, and that brings about whatever God said, it makes it a reality in your life, okay? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Say, I have beautiful feet. Amen? Because you're all preachers of the gospel. Amen? And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? How can you believe the report? With what do you believe God's report? With what? Our heart, not our head. Okay? So we're going to see the difference today. Hopefully we can get into this. Mental assent. All right? And faith. This is really a battle of two titans called your head versus your heart. All right? And sometimes when people hear the word of God, they simply agree with it in their head, but it has not yet gotten into their heart. And oftentimes, we're 18 inches away from a miracle. Because there is no power for knowing what the scripture says in your memory, although it's good to memorize scripture. That doesn't diminish memorizing scripture whatsoever. But you must get what you know into your heart. Because when it's in your heart and you act on it, that's what's going to release the power to bring it to pass. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm just introducing this subject, but it's necessary. And we want to look at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And notice what it says. We having the same spirit of faith. Say, I have the same spirit of faith. Every hero or heroine of faith, we have the same spirit of faith. Amen? And notice it says, as it is written. Your faith cannot be in something that God didn't say, whether he spoke it directly to you or whether he wrote it in his book. Your faith has to be in God's word. It can't be in nothing. Faith is not based on nothing. Faith has to be based on something that's firm, established, unchanging, and truth. Okay? So having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. And where do we believe? In our hearts. And we know that we believe in our hearts. Why? Because it comes out of our mouth. Okay? And therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised... Notice that word knowing. When God's word gets into your heart, you know. You know that you know that you know. There is a knowing that happens when something is in your heart. Because when something's in your heart, it changes your life. Did you know that you connect to the natural realm with your head, but you connect to the spiritual realm with your heart? There are people in this world who are great intellectuals. They're brilliant. Their IQs are high. And they function in this natural world, but they don't have a clue about the spiritual world. Because now, get this. If you take your natural brilliance and your natural smarts and you combine it with a spiritual heart, oh my goodness, the natural and the supernatural come together and make an explosive force for God. Paul was an intellectual, the Apostle Paul. He probably would have had the equivalent of a doctorate education. Okay? But yet, everything that he did didn't amount to much until his heart was changed. And when his heart was changed, his nature was changed, and his life was changed. His change did not come through his education. Now, I'm not against education. I'm a fan of it. I'm educated. Amen? I've been to college. I got a degree. Amen? And when Dr. Ron Charles comes, he's got more degrees than the thermometer. So, there's nothing wrong with education, but even above the education, you need a transformed heart. Because if your heart is not transformed, all the education in the world is not going to help you. Your education does not last for eternity. But a revelation of Jesus Christ and knowing him in your heart, that's good for eternity, amen? That's what gets you eternal life. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And so knowing, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, there's a knowing. When God's word gets into your heart, it bypasses your head, it gets into your heart, that's when you know that you know that you know, okay? Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. When he says shall raise us up, is there any doubt there? In other words, when something gets in your heart, it becomes a conviction. In your head, it's just an inclination, but in your heart, it's a conviction. All right? And it begins to where does God want to write his word? Notice, God doesn't want to write his word on your head. He wants to write his word in your heart. That's why he said, I'll give you what kind of heart? A new heart. I'll take out the heart of stone, right? Because you can't write on stone. You got to chisel on stone. God didn't say chisel, he said write. Amen? He wants something soft, pliable, and that can absorb information. And your heart was designed by God to absorb the word of God. Say, my heart is a word absorber. And if that's not a word, I don't care. It is a word now. All right? Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Say, I don't faint. How do you not faint for the cause? Because you got the cause in your heart. See, when you do something from your heart, it has a lasting impact on your life. So, is that your head talking or is that your heart talking? So, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed how often? Day by day. Oh my goodness. Yes, we live in outward shells that are perishing. But there's someone on the inside who's getting renewed day by day. I go from glory to glory. Amen? Yes, I'm perishing outwardly, but inwardly, I'm constantly growing, constantly expanding, constantly increasing. Amen? So there's a distinct difference when you live your life outwardly or inwardly. Man wants to take care of the outside and make the outside look as good as it can. Little tuck here, little pull there, little Botox here. What are they doing? They're prolonging the outward man, which is perishing. Okay? Like one preacher said, a little powder, a little paint to make you look like what you ain't. Before you got born again, all you were concerned about was the outward. But when you got born again, God introduced a different element. Now you have to live inside out. You have to live from the inward, and what's on the inside now affects the outside, not what you put on the outside. So is that your heart talking or is that your head talking? Are you living your life from the outward perspective, or are you living your life from the inward perspective, from what you believe? Amen? God gave me this the day before I left Fiji. I was talking with a pastor, and there was a phrase that he made, and it struck a chord inside of me, and I was like, ooh, that was a good note, Lord. You just hit a good note. So I put these notes together on the plane, flying here. You know, we came from three different time zones. All right? Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Say this. Say, is that my head or is that my heart? Which one's talking? Which one's acting? When you respond to someone, are you responding from your head or are you responding from your heart? Aren't you glad marriage is not a head issue? It better be a heart issue, because if it's a head issue, you can get out of it quickly. But if it's a heart issue, you're in it for the long haul. Amen? Because when you met that person, something happened in your heart. It might have started with your eyes, but it went to your heart quickly. And you developed a love for that person in your heart. Single people are like, huh? No. So having stuff from your heart makes the difference in your life. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses. And that word quickened means to make alive. Say, I'm alive. I'm not dead. Okay? Notice this now. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our what? And what? Oh my goodness. Before we came to Christ, we all lived out of our heads. We all lived by what we felt, by what our emotions were, by the opinions of others. But now, when God comes into your life, he changes your heart, and now he puts your heart in control of your head. All right? So, we were dead in sins, and our sins were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you're not born again, you are a child of wrath. Okay? So people need to get born again so they become children of God. You know, not everybody in the world is a child of God. Jesus himself, when he talked to a group of Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. So he made a distinction that if you're not a child of God, then you are a child of the devil. But you don't have to stay a child of the devil. And men, come on over to our family. It's a whole lot better. We got a better leader, better father, better brother, and a better system of operating. A better operating system. The old system of operating, it's going to crash. It was designed to fail. Okay? So with your heart, you connect to the spiritual realm. With your mind, you connect to the natural realm. The Bible says born again people are new creatures. Once you're born again, you begin the process of renewing your mind. Did you know that you can't change your mind unless you're born again? Only when you're born again, now you start to begin to renew your mind. Why? Because now your spirit's in charge of your life, not your mind. Your mind is now, he got demoted. Okay? So now your spirit is in charge. So now you've got to hear truth, and you got to receive it in your heart, so then you, with the new truth that you're hearing, you can change your mind with. Amen? Are you with me? All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we haven't even gotten to the heart yet. I mean, the heart of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I had to clarify that. Look at verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? Wait a minute. I'm in the flesh because I'm in a body, right? Yep. But I don't fight from the body's perspective. Before you got born again, you were inclined to give people a piece of your mind when you didn't like what they did or said, right? Or maybe you wanted to give them a knuckle sandwich, right? You were fighting with fleshly weapons. Now, you still fight, but you use different weapons, okay? For though I walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, notice weapons plural, we have more than one weapon. Are mighty through who? What is God? God is a spirit, right? So our weapons come from a spiritual nature. All right? Because they're mighty through God, through the Spirit. To the pulling down of strongholds. Where are these strongholds located? We're about to find out. I'm so glad you asked. Here's where the strongholds are located. Casting down what? Come on. Everybody, casting down what? Imagination. Where do you imagine things? In your mind. Is that your head talking? Or is that your heart talking? Why do we have to cast down imaginations? Because your mind is still used to operating the old way. So the imaginations that you have need to be washed with the water of the Word. I went to that church and brainwashed, yeah, because my brain was filthy. It needed a power wash, right? So part of our fighting, strongholds are located in the imaginations. Why? Because your mind did not get born again. What do we have to do with our mind? How often do we have to renew it? Every day. But you can't renew your mind unless you're born again. Because if you try to renew your mind when you're not born again, the wrong person is in charge. And if you put the wrong person in charge, you're going to get the wrong results. This is revelation flowing right here today. Okay? For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against what? Knowledge of God. What knowledge fights against the knowledge of God? Natural knowledge. Jesus walked on water. Jesus didn't walk on water. No one can walk on water. You can't if you think naturally, but you can if you think spiritually. Yes. Amen? They tried to tell us in high school that the Israelites, they didn't cross the Red Sea. They crossed the Sea of Reeds, which is only about a few inches deep. And I thought, well, isn't it amazing? It's more of a miracle. A whole army drowned in 2 inches of water. What are you doing? I'm drowning myself in water. That's more of a miracle. But see, man wants to use natural things to explain away spiritual truths. Because in the natural, we're limited, but in the spirit, we're unlimited. Okay? And bringing into captivity every what? Oh, my goodness. Why do we have to bring every thought into captivity? Because the thoughts is where Satan gives you ideas and suggestions. So we have to take every thought captive to make sure it's a good thought before we release it. Did you know that a thought unspoken dies unborn? If you intend to say something bad to a person and you don't, then you've just killed that thought because you didn't act on it. When you don't act on a bad thought, bad things don't happen. Amen? But when you act on a bad thought, bad things happen. Where does temptations come? Thoughts and ideas and suggestions from the enemy. Did when Jesus was tempted, do you think he actually had a conversation with the enemy, or did he get thoughts come to him? The enemy said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? That was a thought that came to him. It was instituted from the enemy. It was originated from the enemy, but it came to him as a thought. If you're going to give someone poison, you're not going to put a bottle with a skull and a crossbones on it and say, here, take this. Are you? What does someone do if they want to poison someone? They hide it in something good so that they don't know that they're being poisoned. The enemy hides things in something good so that you don't know you're being deceived. Amen? We're getting deep. Look at your neighbor and say, he's getting deep. So we're supposed to bring every thought. So the strongholds reside in our thoughts, our imaginations, and knowledge, natural knowledge. Okay? What are we supposed to do when we take every thought captive? What are we supposed to do according to verse 5? Bringing into captivity every thought to the what? To the obedience of Christ. We can't bring every thought into the obedience of Christ unless we have a new heart. There's a new sheriff in my life. He's called the Spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. So you're a spiritual being. And the Spirit of those who accepted Jesus Christ, they're born again. But 2/3 of us are not born again. So the 1/3 that's in charge has to battle the 2/3 all the time, and it's got to keep the 2/3 in check. Your spirit has to keep your soul and your mind in check, right? You got to tell what your body... Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said this, I, talking about the real him, keep my what? My body under and bring it into subjection. Your body will want to do things that you don't want to do, and you got to bring it into subjection. Raise your hand if you've ever used the snooze button. Why did you use a snooze button? Because you didn't feel like getting up, right? Your alarm's going off, right? And it's the time that you set. The alarm didn't set itself. Amen? You set the alarm, didn't you? But you don't want to get up, so you hit the snooze button. What does the snooze button do? It gives you a few extra minutes. It deceives you into thinking that you're actually resting. But it already woke you up because you hit the button, right? My point is this. If we let our bodies do what they want to do, our bodies will always overindulge into things that are wrong. Amen? That's just the way the flesh is. That's what the curse of the fall did. Notice I said the curse of the fall, not the curse of the law. Okay? So we got to bring our bodies into check. Okay? See, so if you're going to help someone and God or His Word or His Spirit is not involved, you're not really going to help them. If your help isn't some way bringing them to the truth, you're not really helping them at all. That's why they have self-help books. Who can help themselves? Are you kidding me? People are too messed up to help themselves. They need help to get over their issues, right? There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. Oh yeah, I made it all by myself. You didn't have any employees? Huh? You mean to tell me that you took the raw material and you made something out of it with no help? You did it all by yourself. You operated every machine. You cut the log down, put it through the sawmill, and you made paper out of it all by yourself. There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. It took a lot of people helping you make that money. Amen? Say, we need each other. Yeah, we need each other. The body of Christ needs each other. All right, we're supposed to love one another. Are you getting something out of this? There is no life, victory, peace, success, or real change apart from God. I'm going to say that again. There is no life, victory, peace, success, or real change apart from God. You've got to allow Him to work in you, and you will see the change come out of you. But apart from God, it's vain. Solomon came to that conclusion, didn't he? The end of his life. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to God, since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. God gave us a language that bypasses the mind. And we can speak directly to God. You know, I pray more in tongues in preparing for messages than I do in English. Why? Because when you pray in tongues, you're praying out God's perfect will. And He even said, when you pray in tongues, your mind does not understand. So when you operate in the Spirit, you can make an impact in your life. Okay? There are two realms in which you live, the natural and the spiritual. A born-again heart opens you up to the spiritual realm of God. A mind opens you up to the natural realm. Okay? It helps you operate in the natural world. Okay? When you're born again, to operate in the spiritual realm, you must renew your mind. Otherwise, if you don't renew your mind, you can't operate, because your mind controls your body. Right now, your mind is telling your heart to beat. God set it up. Boom, chicka-doom, 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 chicka-doom. You know, some hearts beat with a different rhythm, right? Boom, chicka-doom, chicka-doom. A happy heart, that's a happy heart. Boom, chicka-doom, 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 right? You don't have to think about it. God put that in you. We don't have to think about breathing. Oh my God, I didn't take my breath. Oh, okay, I'm good. Whew. Aren't you glad we don't have to think about those things? Yep. Amen. So when you got to, in order to operate the spiritual realm, you have to renew your mind. Is that your head talking or is that your heart talking? See, in other words, as you renew your mind, you change the language by which you operate. You know, computers listen to codes, right? Programmers use codes to communicate to the computer to tell it to do whatever they want it to do. You can't tell a computer to do what it wants to do without the right code, right? And they have an operating system, and that functions through the operating system. It allows you to access the information that's on the computer and use it for your use. Okay? So, your spirit becomes the manager, overseer, and director of renewing your mind. When you get born again, God says, I'm promoting you and I'm putting you in charge of renewing your mind. This is the Renewing the Mind Project. How long is it going to be? A lifetime. You are appointed. You're like a Supreme Court judge. You're appointed. Your spirit is appointed as overseer, leader, and director of your of renewing your mind for your life. It's a lifetime appointment. So you're never going to stop renewing your mind. So your spirit should never stop being in charge. Because if your spirit is not in charge, the moment that your spirit is not in charge, you will make a mistake. You will mess up. It's called getting in the flesh. And guess what? We all do it. Did you hear Pastor Doug gets in the flesh? Yeah, but did you hear you get in the flesh too? Amen. We all have our fits of carnality. Okay? So when your spirit is the manager, overseer, and director of renewing your mind, you take spiritual information and change the way you think about natural things. You change the way you think about natural things. In other words, things that were impossible become what? Possible. Sicknesses get healed because you change the way you think about sickness. You don't treat it as a friend anymore. You treat it as an enemy, an unwanted guest, an intruder. Intruder, you know, how many remember Lost in Space, the TV show? Intruder alert, danger, danger. Okay, here's what happens. You take spiritual principles and truths and commands and you begin to live them out in your life. Faith is a force that operates the transformation. Okay? So under mental ascent, no change. All right? But under faith, there's transformation. Okay? Get this. We can take coal, water, sun, wind, nuclear to generate power. Like faith generates spiritual power. But we don't use coal, water, sun. We use the Word of God and we get into our heart, and that's what generates spiritual power. We use these resources to generate our power. Our resources for generating our power are direct. These are the resources, the minerals that we need. Amen? And we have an endless supply of minerals to generate more than enough spiritual power to last several lifetimes. Can someone say amen? This stuff is really good. Get this now. Spiritual power flows from the heart through the mouth and actions that are based on God's word and directed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual power, see, if you use coal, you got to stick coal in a big furnace to generate heat to turn the turbines to send the power, right? And power gets transferred through power lines, okay? Our power, we don't have lines, it's a spiritual network. It's Wi-Fi, it's God's Wi-Fi. And it never loses its signal. Why? Because we got the router on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost. We got the router, God's router on the inside of us. We're closely connected to the router. So we always have a signal. Amen. So spiritual power flows from the heart through the mouth and actions that are based on God's word directed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Feelings, emotions, circumstances, experience, and opinions have nothing to do or any influence on faith. I'm going to say that again. Is that your head talking or is that your heart talking? You know, sometimes we talk from the hurt we experienced years ago. Why? Because it's been a part of our conversation. And so we speak to people out of the hurt that happened 10 years ago. It means you never were healed of it. And your conversations then are a result of that experience. I know, I've done it too. Yeah. I would always complain to my wife when we first got married about, why so-and-so didn't do this for me, blah, 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 blah. And she looked at me and she said, if I'm going to be married to you, you need to change your attitude. Thank God for spouses that don't pull any punches. They just tell you like it is. Guess what? Yeah, you're married, but you don't have to put up with, I'll spell it, C-R-A-P, right? Feelings, emotions, circumstances, experiences, and opinions have nothing to do with or any influence of faith. Faith is not based on your feelings. Faith is not based on your experiences. Faith is not based on your circumstances. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith changes your circumstances. Your head doesn't change your circumstances. Your head agrees with the circumstance. So if you're talking from your head, you're going to be talking about your pain. You're going to be talking about, you're going to take ownership of your sickness. When did it become your sickness? When you took ownership of it. This is my broken arm. Is it? Why do we take ownership of our sickness? Because we're talking from the wrong realm. Because we haven't gotten healing in our hearts. And when healing's not in your heart, you're going to talk sickness and pain. Amen? But how can we get healing in our heart? Listen to what God says about healing. More and more. And guess what? It'll get into your heart. And how do we know what's in your heart? Because now you'll be having conversations about health instead of sickness. Your conversation topics will change. Because you're speaking from your heart, not your head. Okay? What you believe in your heart and what you do from your heart matters most. I mean, Shakespeare was a prophet. To thine own heart be true. Amen? He was like a prophet. Not really, but. Okay. Let's get into this for just a few minutes, all right? Mental assent versus faith. Head versus heart. Okay? The battle of the two titans that you carry with you wherever you go. In any conversation that you have, you're either responding from your head or from your heart. Amen? And if you respond from your head, you can be deceptive. But if you respond from your heart, listen, when someone speaks from the heart, there's a difference. Right? Okay? Mental assent is head knowledge. It operates by the five senses and emotionalism. Is that your head talking or is that your heart talking? You're going to be hearing that phrase a lot. Okay? Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Notice this. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which comes first, faith or hope? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So faith is present tense. The substance of things hoped for is past tense. Faith is always present tense. It's always now. Say faith is always now. Okay? But notice, faith is the substance of what you hoped for. Your now becomes before your past. The present becomes before your past, right? Okay? Hope comes after faith. Faith is the substance of things already hoped for. In other words, what you're hoping for, faith brings it into the realm of reality. I'm hoping for this. Well, how are you going to get that over here? You're going to use your faith to get it from here to here. And when are you going to do it? Right now. Everybody say, right now. Don't delay. Okay, don't press your snooze button on faith. If you press your snooze button on faith, you may miss your miracle. Okay? Hope is wonderful and necessary, but it is not faith. Say, hope is not faith. In the Bible, hope is expectancy. Okay? Hope knows that it may have something. Faith knows that it will receive something. Okay? So, hope knows that it may have, that it may receive something, but it hasn't yet. Faith knows that it will receive something. In fact, faith has already received it. Mark 11, 24, when you pray, it tells, believe what? Believe you receive. Say, believe you receive. Say, I believe I receive. It says, believe you receive and then you shall have. So the believing you receive comes before the having. So you got to believe you receive it before you have it. So if you're talking from your heart, you're talking like you already got it now. You're not waiting for it to happen. When it comes to healing, you're saying, by his stripes, I am healed. You're not saying, by his stripes, I'm going to be healed. See, if you're talking going to be, you're not talking from the heart yet. So it hasn't gotten from your head to your heart. So you got to make that trend. How do you get stuff from your head to your heart? Through meditation. And to meditate means to ponder. God told Joshua, he said this. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What happens if something's always on your mouth? What are you doing if something's always on your mouth? You're hearing it, right? So when God told Joshua, let this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, that means Joshua was always to speak it. So if Joshua was hearing himself speak it, faith is coming to him. So he's constantly in faith. If the book of the law doesn't depart from your mouth, then faith is always in the forefront. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it how often? Day and night, that you might observe to do. How do we know that it's gotten in your heart? If it's in your head, there's no action. If it's in your heart, there's action. There will be no action until something gets in your heart. Otherwise, you'll still contemplate it. You'll still think about it. You'll still hope for it, but you won't act on it if it's just in your head. Oh, I think I'll go shovel snow, or maybe I won't. Body, what do you feel like? My body says, go to bed. Go to sleep. Eat a sandwich. Your body is not going to want to do it. My body's already telling me that I should delay going to the gym tomorrow. But I'm telling my body, no, I'm going to go to the gym. Does your body ever talk to you like that? Come on. Our bodies talk to us like that, right? Our bodies don't agree. When you first got born again, how comfortable was it to raise your hands? I know when I got born again, anybody want to accept Jesus? I needed a car jack to raise my arm. You know, it's got stuck here. Why? Because my flesh didn't want it, but my spirit wanted it. And guess who won? My spirit won. When you got born again, your spirit put your flesh under. Because you couldn't have got born again otherwise. Because when you get born again, God calls you forward. He wants you to make a public declaration of your love for him. Why? He's not ashamed of you, so he doesn't want you to be ashamed of him. That's why we encourage people to come forward. Billy Graham, every crusade that he ever did, what did he do? He called people out of the balcony. He said, come down here, right? Everybody who wanted to get born again, who grabbed the word of God with their heart, they got up out of their seats and they came and received Jesus. They overrode what their bodies felt. They overrode the discomfort. They overrode what people thought. They overrode any other objection that their body would have given to receive the word of God. And that's how we have to be. If your head is talking, it's preventing you from acting on the word. But if your heart is talking, you will respond to the word with both barrels. Okay? You know what? Do you know what I mean when I say both barrels? That means you give it your all, right? 100%, okay? If for some reason, when a call is made for you to come forward and you know you should and you don't, then you're responding from your head and not your heart. So your head is talking and not your heart. So which one's talking today? Your head or your heart? Who's talking? Who's directing your life? Who's directing your choices? You know? When God's word says tithe and you don't, then you're talking from your head and not your heart. Ooh, it got really quiet on that one. People are okay until you mess with their wallet. This is my wallet. You ain't messing with my wallet. I was in Walmart last night, and the funniest thing, I got a kick out of watching this thing. There was a lady there who didn't like staying in line. I mean, you know, out of like 30 registers, maybe they had 8 or 10 open. I don't know. But there was a lot of people standing. She goes, I'm going to call headquarters. She said, I should have the headquarters on speed dial. I'm gonna call. She's looking. She's going. Give me the phone number for headquarters at Walmart. She's talking to her phone. You know, and I heard the conversation. You couldn't help over here. She was right there, and she wasn't silent about it. You know, she was pretty brazen about it. And she's calling the headquarters. She said, "You need to have more cashiers here. I'm a customer. I shop here every week." Those are the things that she's saying. I'm thinking to myself, lady, you think headquarters are going to, what are they going to do, call employees to come and be cash registers? Seriously, what is headquarters going to do in that moment? Nothing. But she was talking from her head. All right? Okay. Let me just give you one more, and let's close this thing out. Okay? Mental assent. Okay? It happens when the hopeful mind thinks it's the believing heart. When you operate in mental assent, you actually think you're in faith, but you're not. See, faith is knowing. You know when you're in faith, and you know when you're not in faith. Do you really grasp it with your heart? What does the Bible say? You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, and all. Notice the heart comes first. And all your strength. Should you love God with a part of it? All of it, right? See, with God, you're either all in or you're not in. There's no partial with God. Jesus told his disciples one time, they were talking about another group doing something. He said, If you're not for me, you're against me. There's no, there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no holding place that you're going to go until you get better. Okay? Yeah, this is the closest thing you're going to get to purgatory right here. Because if you don't accept Jesus in this lifetime, you don't get a second chance if you breathe your last breath. You've got to live for God this life. All right? You cannot wait any longer. Some of you are making so many excuses why you can't do what God wants you to do. Because you haven't grasped it with your heart. That's the thing. That's the thing that's holding you back. Your head is holding you back, not your heart. Your heart is saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. And your head's going, be quiet. I'm in charge. The heart needs to say, you're not in charge. Shut up. Amen? You got to talk to your body like that. Okay, let me wrap this up. Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from me. How can you honor God with your lips and your heart not be close to him? Because you're putting on a show. You know, mental assent is just under hypocrisy. What does a hypocrite do? They put on a show. What part are you acting today? I'm acting the blessed part. I'm so blessed. But every conversation up to that point is, oh, I'm so miserable. And you want everybody to share in your misery. But then you get in church, I'm so blessed. But all week long, you've been talking about how miserable you are. That's a hypocrite. If you really believed how blessed you are, you'd be talking it 7 days a week and not just one. Amen? You don't just come and play the part. You got to live the part. God didn't call you to play a part. He didn't call you to be an actor. He called you to be a child of God. He called you to be a believer. Amen? And we're supposed to live by what we believe. Our beliefs are supposed to govern our lives. Otherwise, it's just vain. Amen? Okay. Let me just say this and then I'm done. After you've been in faith, you'll be able to tell the difference. Why did some people get what they wanted from Jesus and others didn't? Because the ones who got it approached him from their heart. Faith is based on hearing God and knowing that you know. That's faith. It's knowing that you know that you know. God is going to provide for me. And I'm not going to take out a loan to pay this bill. But you know what? You know what pressure is going to do? Pressure is going to say, oh, it's easy to get a loan. You got good credit. You can do it. But yet the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love them. But is borrowing wrong? Not in every case. But guess what? The borrower is servant to the lender. Amen? No matter what you borrow, you're the servant of that lender until that obligation is complete. Right? Okay. Faith is knowing at your deepest level. Faith has authority, ownership, and can be released into the world. What did the Roman centurion say to Jesus? Only speak the word. He believed in his heart that Jesus had the authority to speak. And Jesus said, wow, he's got great faith. So once you have faith in your heart, you can release power in your prayers and in your confession. In your head, you do without. But with faith, you have. Amen? Did Abraham have a son? Because he got out of his head and into his heart. But for 25 years, he lived from his head. It didn't take 25 years to have Isaac because God is slow. It took 25 years for Abraham to get out of his head and into his heart. Because once he got it into his heart, it happened, didn't it? Amen? Yeah. And it didn't matter about circumstance or anything like that. All right, so I'm done for today. I'm a little bit early, sorry. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can enter into the realm of the heart today. Lord, you have transformed our hearts, and you are writing your words on our hearts, and we're believing what you say in the name of Jesus. I want everybody to stand up. Hallelujah. I want you to make a decision today that you're going to believe God with your heart. You're going to answer the question today, who's talking, your head or your heart? And you're going to answer that question emphatically by saying, my heart is talking. Say, I'm going to live by what I believe. I believe God's word. God's word is the ultimate truth. What God says is so in my life, even if it doesn't look like it, even if it doesn't feel like it, even if it disagrees with others, I'm sticking with God's word. I'm doing what I hear every day in the name of Jesus. I am victorious. I am healed. I am prosperous. I'm a champion. I'm an overcomer. I'm up. I'm not down. I defeat every enemy. I overcome every obstacle. God's will is my meat. It's my desire. I do what He wants. I talk like God. I walk like God. I treat others like God. And I live like God. In Jesus' name, amen.